Well, grace and peace to you, people of God. We're continuing in our series, Go and Do Likewise, as we are reading that book and hearing from the scriptures and focusing in on how God has called us into loving service of God and our neighbors in and through the gifts that God first gave us. And today we are hearing from Mark's gospel in the 12th chapter in a story about trusting in God's abundance through this example of a widow's generous, brave, and faithful offering. So you know that old rule that at the dinner table, in order to be polite, there are three things that we don't talk about. No money, no religion, no politics. Yes. Well, in our gospel story today, Jesus just busts that rule wide open. And this isn't the only time either. In the Gospel of Luke, for example, 11 out of his 40 parables, and that's more than the ones he talks about faith and prayer combined. In 11 of them, he talks about the financial influences on our lives. And we've heard from him before, even during the season, about money. We've heard about hidden treasure and handfuls of pearls. We've heard stories about servants and slaves and masters. And we've heard lessons about where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And now at this moment in chapter 12, we witness some great generosity with Jesus and his disciples as they watch this person giving an offering at the temple. Jesus notices, he sees, and he praises this action as a moment of faith. So why does money matter so much to Jesus? And why does he want us to talk about it, especially if it's on that list of the things that are a little uncomfortable? Well, I think that there are several reasons, but first and foremost, it's because in this life and in this world, money is what equals power. And as human beings, we have a big power problem. Since the very beginning of our story, from the tree in the garden, we've tried to fashion ourselves to find power and to be God. There are some theologians, who I tend to find myself agreeing with, who write that the best definition of sin is idolatry, or something that tempts us to put our trust or our life or our power or our love into the hands of something other than God. And that greatest commandment of the Jewish law, we just heard about it in our last preaching, reminds us, the Lord says, "I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods." And that's a commandment who is given to people with a power problem. People who have been struggling with idolatry across generations, even with our faith. Every time that we try to take power away from God and onto ourselves, every time that we want to place our well-being and trust into mortal and earthly things, every time we try to establish control without or beyond the divine, we find ourselves falling into that pattern of idolatry. And usually, that doesn't end very well. Take a moment to think about your own life and moments when you've tried to have it all under control. And maybe it worked for a little while, but if you're like me, eventually it didn't. Because we are simply not God. And that is where Jesus Christ makes the difference. Because where our earthly power only can give us that temporary, short-term solution for what irks us, God does have the power to heal us from our current pains and distress in existence and as our everlasting Savior. Through Jesus Christ, God has promised to transform even death into life. Through Christ, God forgives us, restores us from sin, making us whole and righteous again. Through Christ, God gives us fullness of life, the life that we dearly crave and seek for in all circumstances. And God, who created us in God's own image, knows us inside and out. So only God, as our Savior and Lord, can be that source of our life and our resurrection. And it's that promise in Mark chapter 12, it's that promise that that generous disciple is relying upon today. It's the promise of the gospel that encourages us too to trust and believe in our own lives of faith and service. So let's take a moment to look at this disciple, this widow in our scripture. We know that in this time and place, as a woman, she was likely impoverished, living as a single person, without household or income or helpers. And we also know that widows had no power, money or otherwise. They had no social status in this place in history, and they would often need to be living on the street as beggars. And this person, it seemed that she had just a few coins left to her name. And while she could have, and maybe even should have, used those coins for clothing or for food or for shelter, instead she gives her money away to the poor. This is a truly radical act of grace, where she's placing her coins into God's mission and ministry of the church here on earth. This disciple is trusting that God will use her offering, no matter the size, to make the world for others and for herself better. And she's banking on it, right down to the last coin, as she places her well-being into God's hands. And this singular act is truly a radical act of faithfulness, as she's trusting in God's power above all things to keep her and to hold her. And not only is this an act of trust in the Lord and his power, it's also an act of faithful defiance of the powers of this world. Because in placing her coin there, she's disarming the false gods of this world, the ones that tell her that she is worthless and that she will not survive and that she cannot make a difference. Instead, she's claiming to be a child of God. She's trusting that she can do that work as a disciple, be an equal partner in the mission and ministry of Christ, and a fellow worker in the kingdom of God, trusting that God can and will make a difference in her life and in the world. It is very vulnerable, and it comes from placing that vulnerability in God's loving power to watch over her. Now, it is really challenging, but we can also live into that kind of promise. With our offerings, no matter how big or how small, we can also deliberately choose to place our trust into God's powerful, radical grace. Each time that we share our time or our talent or our treasure or our love, these gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to us, we are also part of that mission and ministry of the kingdom of God. And we get to be part of God bringing newness and life into this world. With the Spirit's gifts, we can show up where there is a need, and we can bring the light of Christ into places of darkness. With the words of Scripture, we can speak truth and life and hope into places where there was despair before. With humble hands and working feet, we can follow in that pathway of our servant king. And instead of chasing those idols of safety or social power or consumerism, we can turn and we can take part in the unfolding kingdom of God, serving Christ and our neighbor together. And we're already doing some of those things right now. I think if you reflected upon your life, you would have little ways that seem so small. But if Jesus Christ was sitting there and saw you, it would make him smile. And he would say, "That's my disciple." Exactly so. Some of the things that we're doing here at Peace Lutheran, consider the ministry of necessities for neighbors, which has grown and grown to the point that it's part of Caris Ministries and is with all these Lutheran churches all over town. Just at the beginning of this month, we filled up our whole gym with people who came to help. Pastor Elizabeth was there with me. She saw it happen. People of all ages received care and were treated with dignity. And consider things like Feeding South Dakota. Some of you might have just been there earlier this week, where we have people who come and receive fresh food and drink right in their hands. And in this moment of service, they hear this message: "You are worthy. Your body is worthy. You are part of the family and the kingdom of God." Think about things like St. Dismas, which many of you have participated in or supported in the Christmas meal, and people who have told me right down to the condiments saying, "Oh, I haven't had sour cream in years. We only have sour cream when Peace Lutheran comes and brings potatoes." Think about the kindness that people receive in the gesture of bringing something along to the meal, let alone every time we have worship together. And together we confess our sins and receive God's forgiveness. And as one body of Christ say, "Yes, this new life is for me." And each and every day we have faith formation classes where we're teaching and loving and sharing Jesus Christ. And each and every time we gather for worship, we are sharing our gifts, encouraging one another, and we are defying the gods of this world and putting our trust back into the one true God of new life and resurrection. So on this day, people of God, it's my prayer for you that as part of this church and the whole church of Jesus Christ, that we might be brave and go forward in abundance, just like that beloved widowed disciple. I pray that when we make tough decisions, things that leave us feeling vulnerable, that we place our trust in God's caring power. And I pray that when we think about things like money and other challenging topics about how we use money, that we strive to be faithful and that we use part of that to share and give with one another. And I pray, of course, that you have courage. Courage in God to be your God and Lord and Savior, to give up that piece of power in whatever way you can today, so that you might taste and see that extraordinary gift of God who loves and cares for you now. So for all of these things and for the many gifts that Christ brings us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.